For his trip to Iceland, Murad hired a slave who was a former Dutch pilot to show him the road to Iceland. After a long trip, Murad and his crew finally arrived to Grindavik, a small fishing town in Iceland. But Grindavik was a major disappointment. Murad could only steal fish and a dozen of slaves. Most inhabitants managed to run away and hide further in the land. Disappointed, Murad's crew sailed again, but this time more to the south. They arrived to Heimawe. Heimawe, contrary to Grindavik, is an Icelandic island, so it's more isolated and secluded. This made it a perfect target for the pirates. There's nowhere to run. The biggest number of slaves captured during Murad's raids of Iceland was from the island of Heimawe. Murad's invasion of the shore of Iceland has been known since and until today as the Turkish abductions or the Turkish raids, because at that time, the Barbary pirates were seen as Turks. Most Barbary port cities like Tunis, Algiers, and Tripoli were under the Ottomans' rule, so technically they were all part of the Turkish Empire. But in reality though, no actual Turk took part in this raid. More so, Murad, who led the raid, was Saleh's governor at that time. And Saleh was, in the eyes of the world, part of Morocco. Morocco was actually the only North African country who was never officially part of the Turkish Empire. So nothing Turkish directly or indirectly had anything to do with this raid. Nonetheless, this raid was so impactful on Icelanders that a law legalizing the killing of Turks in Iceland was put in place not long time after the raid. Fortunately, no Turks actually perished under this law. The law was forgotten over the years, but interestingly enough, it was never repealed. So the law was still in place in Iceland long after the raid, right until the end of the 20th century. It was only in the 1970s that this law was cancelled after someone discovered it by accident. In 1627, Jan's reign as the governor of Saleh ended when local politicians forced him out. It is still not known exactly what happened, but at that time, the political situation in the region was unstable. People were fighting for various reasons, and the tensions with the Sultan were high. For example, the rich Moriscos, living in Kasba mainly, wanted now their own independent pirate republic as well, which would have divided the already small and newly formed pirate republic of Saleh. Leaving the Saleh political drama behind him, Murad ended up moving back to Algiers with his family. But adventure was far from over for him. In 1631, Murad went on another unusual adventure. This time, he headed to Ireland, and more specifically to the port city of Baltimore. Now, Murad was not the first Barbary pirate to head to Ireland, but the mystery of this trip resides in the why. Why Murad chose to go to Baltimore.
Many of the coastal cities of Ireland were as populated by pirates as the Barbary coast. The famous pirate Grace O'Malley even governed her own little pirate city in the region. A few years back, actually, in 1593, Queen Elizabeth I herself visited Grace in what looked like a state visit, a queen-to-queen type of affair. This was a testament to the importance of pirates in the region. Pirates had definitely a strong hold on the southwest region of Ireland for several years to come. The ports in that region were heavily under their influence, if not controlled by them. The Port of Baltimore was one of these booming Irish pirate ports. It was the main rival of another strong Irish pirate port, the Bearhaven Port. In 1606, the rebellious Bearhaven fell completely under the crown's control after it was savagely attacked by English soldiers. Not because of their illegal piracy activity, but the English accused them of lacking loyalty to the crown.
Fuck you!
Even today, this attack on Bearhaven Port is seen as an unjustified and senseless massacre committed by the English soldiers. Baltimore, on the other hand, fell more subtly in English hands. In 1605, an Englishman named Thomas Crook bought the city for 21 years. This led to an increased number of English settlers in the city of Baltimore. As a result of this, few Irish stayed in the city. Most of them moved out, but the piracy remained. The new English settlers didn't mind pirates at all. Once installed, they did business with them as usual. As long as they made money, they didn't really care where the pirates got their merchandise from. Actually, the prosperous money that came from this business was the only reason English settlers were persuaded to come and live in this city in the first place. This region of Ireland, although it was under English occupation, it was still considered high risk. They often revolted against the English. So it was the lucrative pirate business that lured settlers to come, despite the troubles. From the Crown's perspective, if that's what it took to convince English citizens to settle on Irish lands, then be it. The Crown turned a blind eye on the pirates of the Irish coast. The contract for the city of Baltimore ended in 1626. At that time, the Catholic, Walter Copengar, who waited for years to the end of the contract, wanted to buy it. Walter was a hardcore rich Catholic man. He hated these new Protestant English settlers. He was always extremely hostile to them. So when the settlers learned that Walter might take over the contract for Baltimore, they took their case to the Chamber of the Lord, which, with no surprise, judged in 1629 in favor of the settlers. The English remained and maintained their privileges, while Walter was given a castle as a consolation prize to make up for his loss. When Walter wasn't given the contract of the city, he was full of hate for the English Protestant invaders. And 2 years later, a major pirate attack came to Baltimore. Many wondered, and still wonder until today, if that was a coincidence. In 1631, Murad Reyes, formerly known as Jan Janszoon, headed to Ireland. When he got close, he stopped two fishing boats to ask the captains for directions. One of these captains was a Catholic named John Hecate. Murad asked John to lead them to Kinsale, a small Irish fishing town. But John, weirdly enough, insisted that Kinsale would be more dangerous for them, and instead suggested that they go to the port of Baltimore. Murad took John's advice, and on June 20th, 1631, Murad raided Baltimore in what was later widely known as the Sack of Baltimore. Some suggest that the meeting with Hecate was not a coincidence, and that maybe Hecate was sent by someone to encourage the pirate ship to attack Baltimore. John Hecate not only was eager to give them information, but he even participated in the attack. After Murad finished his raid on Baltimore, 429 women and children were captured, and around 20 men. What's strange is that only the English captives ended up being taken. The rest, including John Hecate, were eventually released. So at the end, Murad took with him only 130 captives. After the attack, John Hecate was captured by the English and hanged right away. And Walter, the Catholic rich man who didn't get the contract for the city 2 years prior, was eventually stripped from his castle. Now, no official statement accused Walter of anything, but many see this as a sign that maybe the English suspected him for something. So the question remains, was Hecate sent by someone? Did Walter have a hand in this attack? Or was the whole thing just a coincidence? We'll probably never know. But some people seem to believe there are no such things as coincidences.